Francis Chan says it really well, and it's something that we've been studying over the last, 3 months now in the book of Colossians, and we only have a few weeks left, and then we're going to be closing up our book study here of Colossians. Do you guys remember what the title is of our series? Coming into focus, right? Knowing what to focus on. And he says it so clearly. The one thing that's better than everything else, the thing that brings your whole life into focus, is Jesus Christ. And if we truly believe and we stay focused on things above, on Christ, and not all the other things of the world, then all of a sudden we have a clear focus of what really matters. And we can live in a way that says, Jesus, I'm going to live for something that matters, and that's for Christ. And we've walked through that over the last about 3 months now, and we saw that lens. Keep your eyes focused on things above, not on things of the earth. And then we saw how Paul tells us that the very next part of that passage says, take all the stuff that is death, the sin and those things that are holding you back, and you take it off and you throw it to the ground and you get rid of it. So it was awesome that week that some of y'all said, hey, listen, I need to do that. I'm that person that needs to take that sin and throw it to the ground and say, God, I'm done with that. I need to focus on you. And I've been praying for you since that week that a bunch of you made those decisions. And I pray that you're still praying that same prayer to God and that you're still following in that way. And the next week we saw that Paul said, don't just throw all that death away, but put on something better, which is called life. You see, all that sin dies and Jesus puts that to death so that you can now put on something better. The life that he offers. And we studied how that life changes your relationships with people in an awesome way. The way you love other people, the way you interact with them, and how it changes your relationship with God himself. And now this week he's going to say, all right, since we've studied that, we've seen this lens, we've seen how you need to take off death and put on life, let's get practical. Let's actually see how this looks in your life as you go to school, as you're with your family, as you go about your day. How do these big concepts that Paul is talking about actually take root? How do they play out? What do they look like for you where you're at? And so what he's going to do tonight is kind of, the best way I can describe what he's doing to us here is my love for Superman, all right? You guys know that, right? I mean, that's no secret. Well, it's definitely no secret, right? So I wanted to make sure you really knew this. Dave, I'm going to walk by the speaker real quick. All right, so I have the coolest thing in the world. Yeah, I do. All right, so I definitely have a Superman suit. The whole deal, okay? This is an adult size. Yes, you realize I still wear this. But yeah, I have a Superman suit. Now, here's the deal. I only brought this as a demo. I'm not putting it on tonight, even though I really want to. It's a reminder for us, because here's the deal. I need to tell you this story, because I really thought this. Growing up, Superman was always like my ideal hero. Out of all the heroes, he was awesome. Why did I like Superman the best? Because I looked at Superman, I shared a lot of similar things with him. Not, well, obviously, the strength and the muscles and stuff, and I could fly. But other than those things, there's things about that character, the way he was written, that they instilled in this character. He's someone who values honesty. He's someone who helps people. He's someone who's willing to sacrifice himself for others, to put himself second, even at the cost of death. Does that sound like somebody else we know? Somebody much bigger and better than Superman? And so as I was a young man, as I loved Jesus and I had faith, and I understood these concepts because I saw it in my Savior Jesus Christ. As I chose my superhero, the one I chose was the one that most closely related to what I believed, to the things that, you know, I could relate to. And so as I saw what he stood for, I said, man, that's awesome. So I wanted to be like Superman, and he became my favorite hero. And I figured, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and get a Superman suit. And this much shorter Superman suit at the time because I was just little. And it was Halloween, I remember. It was my very first one, and I was so excited. I would stay up at night waiting just for this stinking cape, because look how sweet this S looks on this cape. It's just so awesome. Check that out. Isn't that sweet? All right, so I dreamed about this thing, and I was like, it's almost Halloween, and I'm going to get to have my suit. I'm going to go trick-or-treating, the whole deal. I go, and I get my first suit. I put it on. I'm so excited. And I'm thinking, man, my mom pulls me aside. She's like, we got to finish the whole thing. So she sits me down and kind of like I have my hair tonight. She gets my hair all slicked down. It gives me that one awesome curl, you know, that Superman has. A little ching curl. Like, now I'm really Superman, you know? And I'm thinking, dude, this is the real deal. I can't wait to get outside. And here's why. Because I'm like, you know what? I look so much like Superman now, and I'm so like closely related. Like, we believe in the same stuff. We have the same values, the same morals. I'm basically Superman. I may go out there on the streets, knock on somebody's door looking for candy, and they might actually mistake me for the real deal. Somebody might think I'm Superman. I'm really believing this as a little kid. I'm like, totally. People are going to think I'm really him. And I get out there, and I'm like, all right, before I go, I got to do one double check, make sure the curl's right, you know, because that's a Superman signature. So I go into the bathroom, and I go to look at the mirror. And when I pop that light on to see myself in the mirror, I'm the same chunky kid, but I'm just wearing blue spandex. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to look like that right now. Like, I imagined in my head that I'd, like, have these huge muscles, and I'd look just like him and be tall, and I'd be like Superman. And I still see two big fat cheeks. I'm like, why are these still here? Like, what's going on? I still look like me. Nobody's going to think I'm Superman when I walk out the door. Now, as I think about what Paul's doing tonight, he's talking to us about putting on things and taking things off. And it's very easy for us to look at these things as behaviors that we can change about ourselves very quickly. Man, my parents want me to act this way and go to church and do these things, so I should probably do it to make them happy. You know, my youth group, man, our youth pastor always tells us we should walk like this and act like this so we look like Christ, so I should probably do that to make him happy. I go to a Christian school or I have Christian friends or whatever, and there's people in my life that I need to try to impress. So what I'll do is I'll start to change some of these behaviors. And when they see me, they're going to be like, you're the real deal. But really all I've done is take some behaviors and pop them on. I get blue spandex, and it's not fooling anybody. This isn't the real deal. You see, the difference is that I would have to be totally transformed to become really Superman. And here's the good news. We can be truly transformed to be made in the image of Christ. We can actually do that. We don't just put on some behaviors and try to please people because they think we should act a certain way. We can actually go to the God of all creation, who we can be intimately connected with, and say, transform me. Make me the real deal. Make me into the image of my Savior that gave everything for me and died for me. Transform me to be like Him as I throw off this sin and put on life. You know what happens with the life that you actually put on? It's not just different behaviors, so you act a certain way to change people's idea of you. This life you put on goes into the root of who you are and changes and transforms everything about you. It turns you into the image of Jesus. You know how it does it? Like we read before earlier in this passage of chapter 3 of Colossians, your eyes become focused on the real deal. Your eyes become, and your heart and your mind become so fixed on the real deal, on Jesus, that connection you have with Him starts to change you to really actually look like Him, because He is what you crave more than anything else. You're like, Rob, but I don't crave that. Like, I hear you talk about it all the time, and I still go out and I still crave sin and I still crave other things. Rob, I don't crave that, so what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And Paul says tonight that we can look kind of in this way. I'm going to walk over there one more time. I'm sorry, I keep doing this. What Paul's doing tonight in this passage is he's holding up a mirror. See, that is blinding you. I didn't mean to do it that way. All right? That wasn't in the plan. He's holding up a mirror. He's saying, look, we just talked about all these awesome themes. We talked about all this great stuff that Jesus does as you believe in Him and it changes you. So let's look at it. You, honestly, in your own heart, not thinking about the person down the row from you, not worrying about who's thinking about you. This isn't Rob judging you. This is you thinking about you, looking in your own heart, in your own mirror tonight as Paul holds this thing up. And what he's going to talk about as we read this is the most intimate parts of your life. To say, hey, Rob Jones, you say you love Jesus. You claim to be a believer. You go to church. You do these things to serve people. But is it real? In the most intimate places of your life, does it show up? Does it transform you, even in the spots that most people can't see? The places that are so easy to hide, where it's so easy to fake it. Does it show up there? Are you truly transformed? And so he's holding up a mirror for us tonight in those parts of our life for you to honestly look and say, is it showing up? Is it making a difference? Is it transforming me? And I'm not going to hold this up to you. I was going to, but I don't want to blind any more people. I apologize for your retinas over there. But you get the point, so I'm going to stick this over here. So let's read the passage tonight. It's Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 18, we're going to read to chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, wives. It says, Hachu. Sorry. Thanks for the sound effects. It says, wives, you're like, what are you reading to us? Listen, just listen to it. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he's done, and there's no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And at first, you're reading this, and you're like, this is a crazy list where he's just listing all these random people and telling them to do things, right, Rob? No, this is directly connected to everything he just said to us. Keep your eyes focused on things above, not on things of the earth. And while you do that, as that happens, what you do is you take the death and the sin in your life, and it gets thrown aside. You literally throw it away. And you put on this life, and it changes you, and it changes the way you love people, and it changes the way you love your God, and it transforms you. And it transforms you in a way that all of a sudden, as we look into the most intimate relationships that exist in our lives, husbands and wives, families, your place of work, the people that see what you do every single day, the people that are they know everything about you, are those people going to see it? Are those people going to see the transformation that's happening in you? And so he starts off and he looks at wives and husbands. And you're like, I'm not married yet, Rob, but hopefully you will be soon. Not soon, some of you. You got a few years yet, right? But one day you'll be married. But look at what it says about wives and husbands. It says marriages, these wives should be submitting to their husbands in a way that says, I love you, I honor you, I respect you as my spiritual authority in this marriage. And you know why I can do that? Because I can trust the fact that, look what it says about the husband. Love your wives and don't be harsh with them. I can trust that what you want is best for me. That the picture of our marriage is Jesus and the church, the people that he loves. And as the husband loves his wife, you know what he's doing? He's showing the world how much God loves his people. And he loves them well and protects them and cares for them. And so the wife can look back and go, I know how you love me, and so I can submit to you and respect you and love you. And there's this beautiful thing that transforms their relationship, this connectedness, because they're being transformed by the love of Christ. And in those intimate moments, a husband and a wife, as they know each other so well, it would be like that they could see, this isn't real in you. You don't love me like Jesus loves the church. Or she doesn't submit to me the way the church should to Christ. I walk with you every day. I live with you every day. We go to bed together at night, every night. I know you in the moments where no one else sees you. I can see the difference. Does Christ make a difference in those moments? And that deep of a relationship. And look, he doesn't stop there with just mom and dad. He goes on to children. This is the whole family. Who do you spend most of your time with? Mom and dad. Your family. I bet your brother and sister know you better than most of the people at church, probably. I bet some of your teachers, you guys might have this, like, you at school you're pretty good, right? You like, you act nice to your teachers, they only have you for like an hour of the day, you study hard and the whole deal. All of a sudden, parent-teacher conference comes and your parents come in and they meet your teacher, and your teacher's like, you have the most wonderful child. They're so well-behaved. And the parents are going, what? Wrong kid! Check the yearbook! Like, this isn't, are we talking about the same kid? And your parents are like, what? Why? Because your parents know you. They see you all the time. They see even the little things that you do. Now stop for a second. What I don't want you getting in your head right now is, somebody's watching me and I have to be perfect and I have to follow all these rules and I have to do all these things and be perfect for God to love me. That's not the message tonight. Because God isn't about that. God is about transforming you because of what he's already paid for you. But the point Paul is making is that this transformation should happen throughout your entire life. even in those intimate moments with the people that know you best out of everyone else. So think about it for a second. In your family, how do you act? Is it totally different from you how you act at church? Do you come to church and sing loudly and raise your hands and praise Jesus and study the Word and memorize verses and the whole deal and you help out at House of Hope and do all these awesome things, but then you go home and you are just at odds with your parents all the time? You disobey them. You disrespect them. You don't care what they say because they're always wrong and they're old. You don't know what you're talking about anymore. How is that the transforming of power of Christ in you in your family? How is that this new life that Paul promises from Christ taking shape in your family? How do you treat mom and dad? He literally says, obey them in everything. Is that you? How do you treat your brother and sister? Is it this constant like civil war in your house all the time with your brothers and sisters fighting over who gets more? Or how is that the love of Christ changing you in the most intimate places of your life? You see, Paul isn't concerned with us just changing our behavior so people think good things about us. Christ isn't concerned with that. What Jesus wants for you is that your whole life be transformed and changed, including the places where you can look at the mirror and say, in these places, I'll get an accurate view. If it's not changing at home, I might need to talk to God and do some business. I might need to ask God to transform me in my house the way I act with my family. You see, you're with your family all the time, so sometimes it's easy to get on each other's nerves, you know? You spend a lot of time with someone. You go to Guatemala with Matt Denyer. You spend a whole week, all week with Matt Denyer. He wears on you. No, I'm just kidding. I love Matt. I love him more when I come back. But you get what I'm saying? And so those people are with you. It's easy to see in those moments. It's a mirror for you. Look at your family. Look at your parents. Look at the way that the people that are with you all this time, how are you engaging them? Is it with the love of Christ? Or is it something when people look at it, they'd be like, that's death. Like, that's not, that doesn't represent Jesus at all. So I challenge you tonight to look at that. And he goes on. He says, in verse 22, he says, bondservants. All right, bondservants. He says, obey in everything those who are earthly, your earthly masters. Oh, wait. So these slaves had to listen to their earthly masters and do everything that they said. That's what you're saying here, Paul? That's what we're supposed to do? Well, yeah, and look why. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers. There it is, right? We've been talking about this. Not just as a way for like people to look at you and go, whoa, like he's doing some really good work. Let's promote him. And then they walk away and you're back like just chilling, you know, like worked for 5 minutes real hard. They think I'm an awesome worker. Look at that. It's awesome. You're just a people pleaser. When they're watching, you're doing it. When they're not watching, you're not. It's easy to disguise the things when nobody else is watching. What are you like in those moments? Are you living it? Are your eyes so focused on Christ that no matter where you are or who you're with, you're like, Jesus, I want you more than anything else. And it transforms you in those moments. And so he's talking to these slaves and he's saying, listen, respect them, love them, obey them in everything with a heart of sincerity, fearing the Lord. There's the key, right? There's the key. You guys might not have jobs yet. Some of you guys do. You're like, yeah, I go to work. I work at Steak and Shake, wherever you work. Right? How many of y'all have jobs? Raise your hand real quick. Let me just see. Any jobs? A few of y'all. All right. Some of y'all are like scientists that are sending rockets to the moon, and others are working. Paris, where do you work? Can I ask you that? It's embarrassing. Huh? You work at NASA with Benny. Okay. You're like, share the cubicle. Whatever. Anyway, you get the point. Some of you guys are like, well, I don't have a job. Well, here's the deal. Where do you go where you're under authority? Where do you spend most of your day where you have authorities over you? It is? A school, right? School. So as you go to school, it's the same premise. It's the same idea. As you sit there and you listen or obey your teacher or not in everything. Well, that old codger doesn't know how to teach math. They don't even know what they're talking about. I'm supposed to listen to them do all this homework they want me to do. That test is crazy. They just gave all these questions on that test that don't make sense. It shouldn't even be on there. I'm just going to cheat on it. They don't even check the homework anyway, so why even bother with it? I'll just copy my friend real quick before class. Just get it done. On the sports field, we have coaches who are your authorities. They're not looking. I'm just going to kind of jog this one. I'm not going to run hard. Who cares? In those moments. The moments where it's easy. The moments where you can hide it. The moments where you think no one's looking. It's those moments. That's the mirror that you hold up and say, does it matter to you or not? Who are you doing it for in those moments? And what Paul's getting across to us here is that, look at what he says next. Verse 23, whatever you do, whatever it is, work heartily, passionately, hard, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Get this next phrase right here. It's kind of the key to this whole thing. You are serving the Lord Christ. It's just one sprint, Rob. Give it up. You know, it's just one homework assignment. Are you doing it for somebody else or are you doing it for Him? Would you take that one sprint and hand it up to God and say, you know, I didn't really do this wholeheartedly, but here, you can have it. Creator of the universe. Yeah, I know that one homework assignment I cheated on, but I didn't really do it, but here you go, God. You see, it's not a matter of God looking down and watching you over your shoulder like Big Brother. It's a matter of your heart. It's a matter of you saying, Jesus, this whole life is now about you because my eyes are fixed on you. So when I run that sprint, as hard as it hurts, I'm going to do it hard. I'm not going to slack off when they're not watching me. That homework assignment that I don't think really even matters, I'm not going to cheat on it. I'm going to work hard on it because it's for you. That test I take that I think the questions are so unfair, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to study hard and I'm going to do my best because it's for you. And you know why? Because these things that you do, you're doing to glorify Him and you're preaching the gospel through what you do. You realize that? As you run that sprint, you're preaching the gospel. As you do that homework, you're preaching the gospel. You are showing other people that this means enough to you that you want to glorify your God with all your heart because you're focused on Him. And as they watch it, they see you preach the gospel or not. They see you say, you know what? Doesn't really matter that much to me. Instead of saying, my God told me to do everything passionately as to Him. And so now when I do these things, it's a way for me to preach the gospel, to say, my God matters. The way I play the sport, the way I interact at school, the way I love people that sometimes might annoy me or be unlovable to other people are beautiful, precious people that God made, and I'm going to love them fiercely because my God matters. And the things that I do with this life and salvation He's given to me are my way of saying, it's for you. It's all for you, the whole thing. But we're really good at saying this stuff you don't really care about, God. This peace. You know, when we talk about salvation, we say, hey, we're going to give it all over to God. You surrender everything to Jesus. But somewhere we lose the translation where we go from that to actually walk in the path. And you know what we do? We go, well, He doesn't really care about this part. And this part, you know, God, what would God care about that? And quickly, we've taken all this stuff back and said, you know what? This is mine. I'll do it how I want to do it. Paul's saying, it ain't yours. You've taken your whole heart and said, it's all about you, Jesus. The whole thing. So every single thing I do is going to be for you because you're my life. You're what matters. And that should radically transform even the little secret places in your most intimate relationships. And so when you're with those people that you call your best friends, you know what? That doesn't cause you to act less like Christ because of your intimacy and acquaintance with them. When you're with those people, it drives you to act even more like Jesus because of that intimacy. How easy that is, you get with your best friends and you're just like, yeah, now we can just let loose because we're not trying to impress anybody. Instead of saying, I am with the people I love so much, I will do anything to lift you up so you become more like Christ. It transforms us. We're not putting on spandex. We're being transformed into the real thing. And so I ask you tonight, as you lift that mirror up and look at yourself, and those parts, those little secret parts, is it a behavior change or is it a transformation? Are you different? Would those people look at you and say, they are legit, like they're the real thing? Whether they're in front of church or they're at home or they're in the locker room, they love Christ and it shows up all over their life. remember when we were in Guatemala, we gave out water filters right now on spring break. You guys helped us do that. You guys have been supporting this through offerings and all these awesome things, and you saw some pictures of how we did that. We bring these water filters into homes, and it's not about the water filter. You're like, well, why go put in 50 water filters and raise up all this money for water filters if it's not about the water filter? Because we love people, we want them to have clean water, but you know what it's really about? You know why we really do that? It's not just for them. It's for the gospel. We bring it in and we set it down and we set it up and watch them drink clean, clear water. You know why? Not to celebrate the act that we did, but to say, God, this is for you. Even a water filter that we install in a house is for you. Everything we do, God, we're doing it for you. And that could be everything that you look at in your life. Everything. Every breath you take can be to glory, to glorify God. Are you doing it? Are you transformed? Are you reflecting Jesus? Gaze in that mirror tonight of your heart and tell yourself and God, am I reflecting Jesus? Will you close your eyes with me for just a moment? Some of y'all are like, Rob, that's me, man. You've been talking about describing my life. And the Holy Spirit's been tapping on my heart saying, it's time. Like, I'm done just changing my behavior to please people. Tonight, the Holy Spirit's calling you to make a change, to be transformed into the real deal. Say, Jesus, the whole thing's about you. And if that is you tonight, and the Holy Spirit's touching your heart and convicting you, will you do me a favor? Don't tell him no. Don't push him off and ignore him. Take the opportunity now that he's knocking to say, look, tonight I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to do some business. Tonight's the night I want to be transformed. I want to tell Jesus, you're everything. You're the whole deal. I want to reflect you to the world. If that's you tonight, as Jordan plays this last song of worship, will you find a leader around this room and grab them by the hand and just talk to them? If you're here tonight, you're like, Rob, this Jesus you're talking about, I need him. I don't have a Savior. I need my sins forgiven. Will you find a leader or come talk to me? We would love to tell you how Jesus has paid your penalty of sin to make you right with Christ, with God. Come find us tonight. I'm going to pray, and then as I do, when I'm done praying, you guys can come up here and worship or talk to a leader, and then after you can dismiss to your fire stations. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that you write us truth like this to tell us the real things. And we admit it's hard to hear. God, sometimes it is hard to hear. Because we have things going on in us and we know we're not perfect. But God, we beg you to help transform us so that we could strive to love you and to be like you and rest in the fact that you have forgiven us. Transform our hearts. Become the main thing that we want out of everything else. We love you, Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.